So my name is Miles Bax, and I work in business development for a startup called Robotical. And Robotical are a robotics company based in Edinburgh in Scotland.
Okay. And we actually met you before at Mobile World Congress. I think the recording we did at the time didn't quite come out that great. So we've decided to have a second round.
Sure.
We're all in a very similar time zone, which makes life a lot easier than usual.
Sure.
So what you have, as far as I can tell, one product right now, which is Marty, the very cute looking Marty. So what is Marty, or who is Marty maybe?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, Marty the robot is our first product, and we're very excited about Marty, as this is a robot that will inspire the next generation of roboticists, programmers, coders, and engineers. So Marty the robot is a walking, dancing, football-playing, eyebrow-wiggling robot that is great fun to customize, personalize, and program. You start with a simple platform such as Scratch, which you may have seen before. And with Scratch, you simply drag and drop blocks of code, creating sequences of events that the robot can then follow. So this is a great way to, teach kids logic and understand how programming works at a higher level too. So following on from using Scratch, you can then go on to try different programming languages such as Python or C++ or JavaScript. And this flexibility of Marty, given it's an open source platform, is something that's really exciting and we think will provide an ideal learning progression for this next generation.
And I'm just looking back through your tutorials and guides. So yeah, the assembled Marty does look very cute, and he does indeed have very wiggly eyebrows. Marty is a male name, so I guess we'll call it he.
Well, it's a bit of a debate because there are some female Martys too, and we want
okay,
to...
Okay, well, we'll call it it. It. As far as I can tell, do people assemble Marty themselves? I can see some pictures here of all the parts individually laid out, or do they buy Marty... pre-assembled or both?
Yeah, you're correct. The first statement was correct. So you buy Marty, and Marty comes in a box, flat packed, and everything is there that you require to build the robot. So you get a number of plastic parts, you get 9 servo motors, a PCB board, a battery, a USB recharger for the battery, a screwdriver, and of course, a ping pong ball and stickers so you can customize the product. So you have everything that you require, including the build guide. We say that it should take around 2 to 3 hours to build your very own robot.
Wow.
But we think that's a nice part of the process because you can really have ownership of the product. And I think for kids and indeed adults who are learning or making their first steps in robotics, to see how you put the thing together is part of the fun and certainly part of the learning process.
Absolutely. And I mean, for you, what are the main kind of learnings that people get from building a robot? Like, you've mentioned a lot of different attributes from you know, it coming with all kinds of equipment to ping pong balls. Like, where does it all kind of come in terms of learning?
Well, I think one of the main things is maybe a kind of overarching point is that robots can be fun. And I think in the media, certainly, there is often an emphasis on the threat of robots and robotics in general to our well-being
and
future livelihoods, etc. And I think what we're trying to do at Robotical is to make robots for good, you know, show that robots can be a positive influence on our lives, whether that's through allowing us to do more interesting work rather than menial tasks, or simply interacting and providing a wealth of new opportunities in terms of the type of technology that's going to be available for us. So I think the overarching point of making your own robot is just understanding that, you know, if you're equipped with those skills, and this is maybe at a more basic level than say, a kind of university study, which our founder, Dr. Sandy Enoch, did with his robotics PhD, but you know, something at a simple level, just understanding that putting something together can be fun and very rewarding. So we're hoping to get that across to the end users.
And where is Marty distributed right now? Is it just to end consumers, or is Marty also appearing in some schools? Or
yeah, so our main focus actually is on schools and the education channel in general. So a lot of the work over the past year has been striking up links with educational distributors, as well as direct to schools. As an example, just this week we've launched a competition in Scotland for Edinburgh schools to take part in a Marty coding party. And this competition is going to allow a number of children from different schools to kind of come up against each other in a bit of a obstacle course competition with the robots and a dance-off. So we hope this is going to generate a lot of fun for the pupils involved. And there may be a couple of Martys available as prizes too. So it'll be very interesting to see how it goes. We're then hoping to replicate that across other areas of Scotland, the rest of the UK, and around the world. And in fact, we are we have currently got a number of deals with educational distributors in places such as France, Spain, Greece, as well as, and maybe very excitingly for the company, South Korea and Hong Kong, which have proved to be very large deals and a bit game-changing for us, actually. So we're currently in talks with more distributors across Europe and Asia, and the company may well be making a trip to the US this year too, which will be very interesting.
And for those people listening who sort of don't have kids or you know, young children in their lives, I mean, how embedded is technology in the schools of today? Like, what kind of, you know, where does it all kind of fit in?
Yeah, I think it does depend on where you are. But the trend is certainly for governments around the world to really be emphasizing the importance of STEM subjects, you know, science, technology, engineering, and maths have traditionally been understudied, you know, and certainly there's been the accusations that it's perhaps a very narrow group of people are studying those subjects. So, for example, it very male dominated at the moment across numerous countries. So, you know, but saying all this, the governments are trying very hard now to boost participation in STEM, and are working hard to widen the access to these subjects as well to make it, you know, more appealing to people. And I very much hope that Marty is part of that trend, because we're trying to create a product that is fun and will appeal to maybe a wider group of people who might not have considered something like coding in the past. But if they're working with a robot that's good fun and got wiggly eyebrows, it's maybe a bit of a gateway into looking at the possibility of studying these crucial subjects. And I say crucial because of maybe what we alluded to earlier in our discussion, the fact that there are going to be new jobs in the future that don't currently exist. And it's very important for schools to kind of pick up on that and prepare the next generation for this, you know, this changing reality. Sorry, that's a bit of a rambling answer, but
no, I like it.
I think schools are aware of the need to, you know, to emphasize STEM subjects. And I'll give you an example in where we're based in Scotland. A lot of primary schools are now using Scratch. So kids who are 10 years old, 11 years old, will have a bit of an introduction to using Scratch, possibly younger even. So they're getting some basics in coding, but perhaps what they've been doing is programming something, a cartoon on the screen. So what we try and do is, you know, give them access to a physical product that brings to life that coding and, you know, makes it not just 2D, but literally 3D too.
Okay, I'd actually like to dig into this a little bit more. So firstly, the Marty has a has a Rick in its head, and I'm wondering if this is a Morty reference. Rick in Marty.
Well, no comment there. I'm not meant to say anything here, I think.
Also, that's not a very child-friendly cartoon, so let's leave that one alone. Is it Rick? But just to be more specific, Rick is basically the mm-hmm. microcontroller.
Correct.
Is it a custom or is it based on Arduino?
Rick is a custom board. So we've developed that ourselves, and we're quite proud of that. Actually, it's something new to the market. It is a custom board, and it's ideal for using Marty. But the nice thing, again, I'll emphasize the fact that we are an open source platform. So we are definitely trying to push the idea that you can use whatever you like with Marty, really. So whilst we have our RIC board and that's ideal for you to get going and get started, if you like, you can add a Raspberry Pi, for example, and that's very easily connected. And indeed, we have some instructions on how you can connect a Raspberry Pi to our RIC board. And with a Raspberry Pi, you can then add things like cameras or different sensors to do some higher level robotics challenges. Perhaps you've progressed a bit with Scratch as a youngster. You know your way around Scratch. You've got Marty moving and dancing, and you think, well, I want to do something a bit more difficult. Let's try and see if we can add a camera and maybe introduce things like facial recognition or color tracking. So if I have an orange ping pong ball, let's try and see if we can get Marty to follow the color orange. So you can do a whole heap of things that are quite challenging too. And we hope that lots of people will have fun with the customizable nature of Marty.
And actually, one of the nice things, I'm guessing, so the most proprietary thing of the whole Marty project is probably that board, but the code behind it and also is on GitHub, but also the spare parts are available to 3D print, which is nice too. It's a kid's toy. Oh, sorry. It's a kid's project. I'll say toy. And kids break things. So being able to reproduce the parts is quite nice. And also it again teaches kids about the aspects of various values in if you break something, you need to remake it. You could use a 3D printer, but 3D printers take resources and et cetera, and it doesn't happen instantaneously. 3D printers are pretty fast, but not instant. So it teaches them a lot of the processes behind everything that goes into a product like this. I'd also like to. So yeah, you talk about Scratch. Scratch is great, but it gets people to a certain point. And then yeah, you have Python, intermediate and advanced, with a Python API for use with the RIC, but also with the Raspberry Pi. But then actually, you have support for ROS, the robot operating system. Actually, and I interviewed some people before who were based in Berlin who build robots for more industrial applications, and they also had support for ROS. So it's actually quite a wide framework. Did you know much about that? Is that, I guess, with the intention of giving kids the outlet to take this further into more complex robots, but by practicing with something more
simple? Yeah, I think... you know, the expert really on ROS is Sandina, the founder, Dr. Sandina of Robotical. And I think this is a bit of a pet project of his as well. He was very keen for Marty to be a platform that would provide a learning experience for all ages. And whilst our marketing efforts at the moment are concentrated on bringing Marty to that, as a kind of introduction to the world of robotics, and part of the appeal, we hope, is that you can keep learning with Marty right the way through your robotics career. And if Marty is something that you pick up aged 10, and that inspires you to go on and do a degree in robotics, it'd be quite nice if you could then, dig it out the room and bring it up and think, oh, I can use ROS with this too. And we hope that means that Marty really is a robot, and a bit of a companion throughout your learning journey. So we have a few kind of examples of things you can do with ROS on our website. And, you know, we will develop more, although, yeah, we do have limited bandwidth as a company and are concentrating on that, you know, Scratch to Python area for the moment.
Yeah, but, sure. And Python still can take people along.
Exactly. But ROS can be good fun. And, yeah, perhaps watch this space with what we can do with that.
Kate, I have plenty more questions, but I don't mind letting you have a voice.
Look, I'm interested to know why you've had such interest, I guess, internationally from, you know, schools and so on, because there is a lot of people pushing these kind of products. You know, what do you see as being kind of the secret sauce that you've been able to offer that maybe some of the others weren't?
Yeah, it's a really good question, but I think... a lot of the appeal of Marty is how Marty looks and acts. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of products on the market that are great and technically interesting, but frankly are a bit scary looking and maybe don't really, kids maybe don't identify so much with those products. So I do think a lot of the secret is how personable Marty is, despite being a very kind of simple design, really. But having the ability to convey emotions with a simple eyebrow situation can really help, and I think really gets kids interested in controlling, you know, making Marty do various movements. I think it's also quite important to be a humanoid robot. So again, that's something that, if you think of a robot, you kind of, that's a classic image that people have in their imagination, would be something that looks a bit like Marty. So that certainly, apologies for that, just buzzed there on my computer. But yeah, that certainly can help too. So we have this patent pending walking system with Marty, which is fairly unique. And I think people find that quite funny too, the way that Marty walks in quite a smooth manner, but it's certainly a unique way of doing that. And I'll need to let the listeners discover Marty maybe on our website.
And you mentioned soccer, and you know, right? We've actually seen another robot play soccer, which was a very, very, very slow game, very entertaining but very slow. So how do you get? Is that a real draw card, I guess, for kids?
Yeah, I think a lot of kids do love that. You know, they love seeing Marty being able to use a ball and walk up to it and kick in quite a convincing manner, etc. So I think that's a real draw card. I think also dancing is a real draw card with kids. So Marty's got some pretty cool moves. that can be good fun too. So there's a few things there that I think kids identify with. I think that's the key, that Marty can perform movements, but they can too.
And I'm interested, in regard to, like, you've sort of spoken about, you know, how you came up with a fairly humanoid robot that is not scary for children and so on. What kind of testing or prototyping did you do in sort of the first few iterations of Marty?
Yeah, well, I should give you a bit of history, really.
Yeah, sure.
So Robotico was founded, as mentioned, by Dr. Sandy Enoch, and he was doing a PhD in robotics at the University of Edinburgh. And during his PhD, he was working with and creating a very complex running robot, you know, with joints and fairly high-level stuff. But his Christmas was coming up and he had a niece and he wanted to get her a Christmas present that would maybe, inspire her to get into robotics too. But everything at the time that was on the market was kind of, you know, a novelty toy or remote controlled, not really reflecting what he was doing with robotics. But then alternatively, you could purchase something that was, you know, thousands of pounds or dollars or whatever, and very expensive, but just completely inaccessible to, you know, for kids to get started with, and a price point that was far too high. So he was inspired to create something that was a humanoid that was able to walk on two legs, but yet was, a price that was acceptable for families to get for Christmas presents. So that's how the idea behind Marty was born. And I think it was a bit of a side project for Sandy whilst he was completing his PhD. He had some ideas and had a lot of iterations of that, where, you know, before the company was even founded. He then, after the studies, went on to found a company in 2016 and did a crowdfunding campaign on the Indiegogo platform. And that campaign was really successful. We sold 1,000 units to 54 countries around the world. So we were exporting immediately. We had a number of schools and, you know, schools and maker type people interested in that first round. I think our biggest order on the crowdfund, which is quite impressive for someone to back us to that extent, we had a school in Australia actually that ordered 40 Martys and to create a real kind of workshop area. So that was really, really cool. And we were delighted to be able to get the Martys to them, and we're still in dialogue with them too. So that was really interesting, and it kind of gave us confidence to go on and think we had something here. And we manufactured the second batch in 2017, another 1,000 units, and then took on some seed funding at the end of that year. So we're still iterating is the short answer. We're about to release our third batch. It's been improved from the second batch. And then closely followed by a fourth batch, because third batch is sold out before it's arrived even. And that fourth batch, again, we're constantly improving. So, iteration and continuous innovation is very important to Robotical, and we'll be striving to always do that.
I'd actually like to ask you a question there. So obviously the hardware side is it's possible to get people improvements if they have a 3D printer or something like that. But with the software side, which is probably the area that you change more regularly, obviously an internet-connected device has the potential to be updated, but how do you encourage people to do that? Like if there was a security flaw and you really needed people to update it because who knows what, you could have all these Martys turned to ill. How do you encourage people to update, or do you make it like a process that they can't really opt out of? It just happens. How do you make sure they're kept up to date?
The plan is in the future to make sure that we are able to update, you know, remotely, update our boards remotely. Unfortunately, at the moment, we've been doing limited size batches, so it's not fully joined up. But there are plans from this summer for that to be rolled out. We're looking forward to be able to be, fully upgradable as time goes on.
And just a question I was thinking of is just, you know, in that you've been developing your different iterations, how challenging has it been as a product to scale? Like, we know traditionally hardware is an expensive undertaking and it's, you know, can be time consuming. How have you been able to do that?
Well, it is very challenging. There's no doubt. Scaling a hardware product is always a bit of a minefield. But, you know, it's something, I mean, we've got a young team here as well, so we're all learning a lot as we go along. I think we've learned that scaling takes time too. So we're often very keen to kind of push ahead with, you know, especially when we see lots of orders coming in, it's really exciting. But we've just got to make sure that the product is right at every stage. So we're still in that process. I mean, we're going from relatively small batches at the moment of, you know, 1,000, 1,500 units to this next one is going to be 4,000 units. Wow. So perhaps we should have a chat in a few months' time with to tell you exactly how the scaling is going. But, you know, we're getting great help from our advisors who have invested in us. And so we've got a really great advisory board at the moment and investment team. And I think we're just trying to be as open to learning as much as possible over the next few months. And we've got, you know, big ambitions for Marty. We want Marty the robot to be in schools all over the world. And to do that requires, you know, a bit of you know, maybe seems like moving mountains at times, but we will get there. And yeah, very excited to see how the scaling occurs.
Excellent. I strongly suggest everyone also checks out. You have a lot of tutorials actually for people who want to kind of know what to do next. You have an actual tutorial page which has things like controlling Marty with a gamepad, which is pretty cool. But then also code repositories. Marty the robot has its own GitHub account, which is, yes. Which is kind of cool. It's a whole
That's
new.
Awesome.
GitHub yesterday just released a bot, but there's already robots on GitHub. It seems so. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, and I would also like to reiterate, because maybe it wasn't clear to people, but the head of Marty has space for the Raspberry Pi, which is actually quite cool too.
Yes.
If you want to add a Raspberry Pi into Marty, it's not like it sits to the side of it or something. You can actually put it inside Marty's head, which is yes. Which is quite cool. And I guess that was good, some good forward thinking. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential here. I'd love to hear what people have taken with it further as well. I guess, I mean, you've already spoken a fair bit about what's up for the next few months.
Yeah.
Is there anything we haven't covered that you want to make sure is? And apart from some of the things you've discussed, what's on the roadmap for the next 6 months?
Yeah, well, firstly, yeah, just say thanks very much for letting me have a bit of a chat on your podcast. I really appreciate it. And I would encourage people to go to robotical.io, check out our website, see what you can do with Marty. We'll be adding more challenges and more curriculum-focused activities to use Marty the robot over the next few months. And yeah, I mean, that really kind of shows the roadmap for us. We're going to be concentrating over May, June, July on really upping the amount of content that's available to consumers and schools, so that Marty is fully compatible with a number of curriculums around the world. And we want teachers to be very confident of using Marty and using Marty. They are able to, you know, tick off a number of points that they need to cover in their curriculum, and that's really important to get that wider usage.
That's actually a very important point. I have heard criticism of a few of these projects that they teach kids things but not things that they're supposed to learn, and whether people agree with the content they are being taught or not, I mean, that's what fundamentally gets them through school. So you have to sort of at least bear that in mind. it's actually a very good point.
I mean, if I can ask a really quick question there, I mean, and I would imagine for some teachers, jumping into robotics is a really big learning curve. I mean, how the heck do you teach them as well?
How do you teach the teachers?
Yeah, like it's a big undertaking.
Absolutely. No, and that's something that we are aware of. And, this whole, change in terms of workplace and robotics becoming more important. Yes, of course, that's crucial for kids to understand, but also it's crucial for the educators, and it's new for the educators too. So yeah, we're very understanding and sympathetic to teachers who may be a bit nervous in using a robot in the classroom. But again, hopefully the appeal of what we're trying to do is to demonstrate that it doesn't need to be nerve-wracking, and using Marty with Scratch is a really nice entryway both for the pupil and the teacher, and it doesn't have to be something that is too frightening. But yeah, we're looking to work with local councils, with distributors, with various schools, and also universities to help teach teachers and provide content and enough material around the products to make the transition as easy as possible.